Today is April 10th. We're going to pick up where we left off. I believe we left off, we had just been in the middle of the very wonderful explanation of the of Rav Hirsch on the mitzvah of eating the Pesach and what it represents. And if you look at source sheet 18b, just to refresh our memories, you'll see I numbered the points on the side, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. But basically, a summary is that the as is the theme in many of the Mefarshim, this was a very fundamental time in the existence of Klal Yisrael. We were beginning our existence as a nation, as a formal nation. And there were many lessons that we had to learn. And here, the Rav Hirsch explains that the Shechitas HaPesach really was a reflection of ourselves, sacrificing ourselves, of, it would seem on the exterior to be a destruction. And but really, it's a relinquishing of one's former existence. That's the way the Rav Hirsch understands it. But relinquishing one's former existence could be the end. Could be just the end. It could also be just the beginning. You know, at the end of Chasna videos, often they write, this is not the end. It's only just the beginning, right? That's a beautiful thing to write. In fact, I remember years ago hearing a tape from Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller once walked into a shiva home. And understandably, the Oval was very distraught over having lost his father. And the man turned to Victor Miller and he said, "It's all over, it's all over." And you know, he broke into bitter sobs. And Victor Miller understood that that was not a correct perspective at all. He turned to the man and he said, "My dear friend, you're so wrong. It has only just begun." In our limited view, we view this world as the all. This is everything. In fact, we know that it really has only just begun. And that's the famous mashal one of the Kadmonim give about the twins in a mother's womb. Familiar with that? What's that? The Gesher HaChaim? Oh, so it was the Gesher HaChaim. I thought it was predates the Gesher HaChaim, but okay. Maybe he quotes somebody else. Two twins. Yeah, I think it predates the Gesher HaChaim, but twins that are in the mother's womb. And it's very dark, and one says to the other, you know, this is whatever we have here, this is what it is. And then one of them is born, and the other one that's left there says, "Oh, it's all over. My brother has died. It's finished, you know." And the brother's in the new world saying, "You don't realize what you're saying. It has only just begun, and you'll be here eventually too." And sometimes only a few minutes later, I have twins. They were born 7 minutes apart, which I'm told is pretty long. But I know twins that were born 30 seconds apart. In fact, the younger one, the older one, used to always tell the younger one, "You have to listen to me. I'm older than you."
I heard it. I just actually sent out over a week ago an email. This woman, young woman, she's dying of cancer, and she's preparing for and she has had all kinds of questions and had many requests of the rabbi, and then she's almost done, and I got one more request. She says, I want a picture of me holding a fork at my rabbi. It's a weird request. He says, why do you want to have it? She says, my grandmother told me best is yet to come, like dessert, you know, like, and so she had, so she wanted that in her, like, you know.
Okay, that's very interesting. There's a story in years ago, probably 10, 15 years ago, one of the Reichman brothers passed away. You know this story with the where he had a request in his will to bury him with a pair of socks? And hear this story. It's an unbelievable story. One of the Reichman brothers, wealthy brothers, He passed away. Maybe it was less than 10 years ago. And he left in his will a request to be buried, not just with tachrichim, as is the halacha, but included he should have a pair of socks. He should be wearing a pair of socks. And he left over two wills. One was to be read right after he died, and one a week later after the Shiva. So in the first will, that's what he wrote, that, you know, you're going to read this before I'm buried. I would like you to bury him with a pair of socks. You remember this story?
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, so they went to the Chevra Kedisha, and they said, do we know it's against halacha, but maybe is there any way somehow we can get a heter? Turns out there was just no way. It's forbidden, and that's the way it is. They're not going to do it. So they refused to bury him with the socks. So a week later, they finish the shiva, and they open up the second will. And in the second will, it says, by now you will have known that it was forbidden for me to have been buried with socks, even though it's a mitzvah to fulfill the wishes of a mace. The halacha is the halacha, and we don't do it. He says, but I did this specifically to teach you that no matter how much money a man can amass in this world, and he was a fabulously wealthy person, certainly most of his life, no matter how much money a man can amass, when he goes to the next world, he can't even bring with him a lousy pair of socks. Now, of all the legacies, of all the stories, of all the lessons that he imparted to his children, that's a living legacy that's beyond any words, beyond anything. He took his entire fortune and turned it into, aside from all the good that he did with his money in his life, which I'm sure he did much, many, many, many yeshivas were supported by their family, etc. Still are, but that kind of lesson is, it's just remarkable. In any case, the shechita represents the shechita, as with many, many times we've seen this about karbanos, that an offering represents, is a reflection of the one who brings it himself. Many of the Rishonim say this about bringing any sort of offering, is that really we know that we ourselves deserve this to happen. The Chinuch speaks about it in Parsha of Truma and Tetzav, I believe. So the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach represents, is a reflection of relinquishing our own existence. But Rav Hirsch is very quick to point out that relinquishing your own existence is a question of for what? What are you relinquishing your existence for? If you then engage in taking that existence, symbolic existence that you had with the animal of the Karban Pesach, you take that and you eat it for a mitzvah, and you eat that meat. What you're doing is you're dedicating, you're taking that form of existence and dedicating your new existence to a much higher calling. So very often people have experiences in their life, they have sometimes very negative and sad experiences, but if they can take that and twist it around and build upon that, then what they've done is they've made a positive out of a negative. And that's really precisely the idea here. Klal Yisrael is leaving Mitzrayim. We had all our former existence, everything we had, we were actually slaves. So now we get freedom. Okay, so we have a new existence. But the question is, what do we do with that new existence? Unfortunately, we've found this in many places where Jews under persecution, despite the persecution, maybe because of the persecution, were dedicated to the Torah. And then we find, historically, where they've been given freedom, and what happens to them? Unfortunately, they go off and do not do the right thing. So being given freedom is something to celebrate, but only for one purpose, if you use it for the right thing. Yes, correct. Okay, so this is very, very important. This is the symbolism of the mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach, and that's why it specifically had to be, he mentions, to people who were counted, who sort of RSVP'd for the Chabura and so on. They've already stated their intention that they're going to dedicate their newfound existence and newfound independence to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Register beforehand, and right. So just to quote his words, it's only to be eaten by individuals who have symbolically nullified their existence and surrendered themselves to Hashem. So it's not just the nullification of your previous existence, but have also dedicated it to Hashem. And then in number three, I'll just quote some of the words here. He says, after all, what does it mean to be free and independent if not to have the free use and enjoyment of one's own personality? What is freedom? Now, of course, freedom is very nice, But freedom for the sake of freedom is useless. Freedom for the sake of using it for what you know is the right thing, that's a different story. So it doesn't just mean to have freedom, to be able to do whatever you want, but rather to have the freedom to do what you know is the right thing, which is to dedicate your life to Hashem. These are time mitzvahs from Rav Hirsch. You know, how much of that? It's certainly not ma'akev, but how much of that you have to have in mind? He's explaining to us what the message is in all this. So by number five there he writes, and that's I believe where we left off. He says, just to have it underlined there, through achilas ha-pesach, they regain their own selves after having been slaves, absorbed and lost in the personality of their master. A slave has no identity. A slave has nothing to themselves. And we mentioned this from that beautiful Svarnai of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, that the Nisan, the first month, Hashem gave them one of the first mitzvahs, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, is Reish Chodesh. This month will be yours. What does it mean, this month will be yours? So those words are so profound. This month will be yours. Finally, you'll have a month, you'll have some time that you can define as yours. You can do with it what you want. Hopefully you'll understand that you should be using it for the purpose of Elam Haba, for the purpose of serving the Rebbeinu Shalom. But until now, you didn't have your own time. You were on somebody else's time. When you're on somebody else's time, you have no, so to speak, no identity, especially if you're a slave.
But isn't it that way when you switch from one master to another? I mean, with Hashem, really, we're on a low level, most of us, at least I am. Is that, but we don't have any time. Everything, we have a shofar over 24/7. Everything is, it's all that we're supposed to be doing. I mean, we can make choices, but it's always the same.
Well, first of all, you chose to buy into that shofar over and to recognize, and you made a choice to know that this is your. So we are avadim of Hashem in a sense, right? We say the Rebbeinu Shalom is im kavadim, im kibonim, im kavadim. We say on Rosh Hashanah, we're like children or we're like slaves. They're both true. But we're voluntary slaves. No one forces us. Hashem deliberately created a system where we're not forced. Person has free will. You're not forced to do the right thing. You choose by free will. Now, once you do that, you say, I can't do that. How do we say something is forbidden in Shulchan Aruch? It's very interesting. In the Mishnah, in Gemara, how do you say something is forbidden? You say it's asur. What does asur mean? Asur, it means you're bound. Yeah, you're bound, but that's voluntary. I'm bound by Shulchan Aruch, it's true, but only if I believe that the Shulchan Aruch is what should be dictating how I live my life, right? That in itself, I bought into this system in the first place. Now that I know that I want to dedicate my life to Hashem, now I'm bound by Shulchan Aruch to do this or to do that. That's correct. But these two aspects, the shechting of the Korban Pesach and then eating it, he says, the people that have dedicated themselves specifically to Hashem, that those should be the people to eat, to be counted in for the Korban Pesach. He says, if you shechted it without the proper intentions, then it will go on later for the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So that would imply outright enslavement, and not for the people who are counted in, that's outright enslavement, and not to the people who will eat it, it would imply self-sacrifice, but without regained independence, which means eating it again was, now that I've shechted it, now that I've transformed it into a new existence, right, now I want to then use it for a higher existence. If you don't move on to the next stage, it's a waste, and therefore you need both components. Now, just continuing here in Pasuk 10, Rav Hirsch, my numbers on the side, 6, 7, 8, that's where we are. So he says, Shechita, I have underlined there, by number 6. Shechita without achila, means shechting it, without eating it, would represent destruction of life without regaining it on a higher level. And that's what we spoke out, the Ramban. I'm not sure all of you were here then, but the famous Ramban, that actually that was the intention of the ecosystem, the way the Rebbeinu Shalom intended it, was that the lower forms should feed the higher forms and move up the chain until the point where actually meat or animal meat is then fed the chai, the level of chai, which is the animal, is then fed to a medaber, to one who is a human who speaks. So again, daimim tzemeach chai medaber means the inanimate object, let's say the earth, is there to feed and to sustain growth, plant growth. Plant growth then goes into chai, right? So daimim into tzemeach, tzemeach into chai. And then chai, the animal life, is supposed to then be fed into the, or provide for the lives of humans. And then what are humans supposed to do? So that's a very nice system, but then again, if you eat the animal, what do you do with it then? If you're just eating for the sake of eating and indulging, that's useless, that's a waste. That's why the Gemara says that an Am Haaretz, somebody who's not going to engage in Torah study, somebody who doesn't know Torah study, he shouldn't eat meat, because you're wasting the system. Yeah, don't waste Hashem's time, so to speak.
You often see people wearing the chai on their neck. You know, and I guess I've never really heard that maybe the Hasidic significance or really even a good reason as to why people wear that. So
yeah, that's not related to the word chai when we say in the levels that we're talking about. Chai is like a chaya, is like a behemoth, is like a living thing that doesn't have intellect, like a medaber, like the speaking world. That's a different purpose, what you're referring to. But in any case, he says to have shchita, to shechta, without eating it is destruction without a higher calling, and then achila, to eat it, but without shchita, would represent independence gained, but not with the preparation of having dedicated your life to Hashem. And therefore, he says, that's why it has to be done specifically. When was this? This was, we mentioned this last time. The time frame to eat the Korban Pesach was much shorter than any other Korban, correct? It was one night. That's it. Why so short? So he explains in number 8 here. Is because there was that connection between the eating and the dedication to Hashem, that's something that could be easily lost. You have to do it immediately on the same day that you shechted, on the same day that you're dedicating it to Hashem. You're also, therefore, you then have to eat it. And if you leave anything over, which means, what would, according to all this, what would leaving something over represent? You shechted it, but you didn't do anything further with it, right? So you have to get rid of that, because that is symbolic of something that was not following this higher this step up, right? We're not moving on to a greater existence. And therefore, number one, we can't delay the eating in the first place. Number two, if it was left over, it has to be burned. And that's why he says in number 10 here, this burning signifies the negation of ideas that are inconsistent with the conception of the sanctuary, and so on. And he says a beautiful thing. He says that burning of the nisar, burning of the leftover meat, was actually categorized as one of the services in the carbon. How do we know that? Because you're restricted to doing that only during the daytime. Like you have with some of the other avodas, some of the other services like shechting and sprinkling the blood, etc., you are restricted to do it only during the daytime. The fact that there are restrictions to when you could burn the Korban Pesach shows you that this is all part of the service. It's not just, okay, if you left over by default, okay, burn it. No, there was actually, this was part of the service, because there was great significance, as Rav Hirsch is saying, that all the symbolism that we've mentioned till now all lies within this meat, and if you leave it over, you then have independence without rededicating it to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's something that has to be gotten rid of. Because again, it's a lesson to us, it's an inspiration to us, that's the way we should be in general with ourselves, and we keep that in mind when fulfilling the mitzvah of Korban Pesach.
What is, you refresh us on the nafka meaning between those two cases? The person doing the shechta has to have in mind that for those people who are registered and have to wife to eat, is there a scenario where there's some kind of a nafka meaning between the two?
halachically or?
Yes.
I don't know if there's an afkamina. What he's saying is based on the symbolism that shalai la'eichlav and shalai lemnuyev is for two different things. That's what he says. That shalai lemnuyev, not for the people, would imply outright enslavement. It's not for the people who specifically, I mean, they're still slaves. They're not dedicating their lives to Hashem. And shalai la'eichlav means not for the people who are intending to, you know, then you would just have a shechita without an achila. You're not moving on to the next stage. It's also problematic. I don't know halachically if there's any difference.
There's people who were registered and end up not eating it, or someone ended up eating it, not.
Well, we're talking about the person who shechted it, his intention was for whom.
It's
okay. That's what we say, Meiser Adam and Abahema Oyen. That's true. If we do not, if our existence boils down to simply self-indulgence, then you're right, then you're 100% right. In fact, we could be worse than an animal because we're wasting the potential that we have to be a higher being. Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's just... Absolutely. Okay. On page 18, the second to last source there. Source sheet number 18, the first in your little pamphlet there. The second to last source, again, you don't have to follow inside to understand this, but if you do want to, it's a nice reference. The second to last source is the Medrash on page 18. Medrash from Shemais Rabbah. So Medrash Rabbah, we're going through all the different elements of the Karban Pesach, and we were talking about now not leaving it over, and for the purpose of, you know, has to be people counted in, and so on. And here we had a significance for Tzli Eish, which was roasting. We went into a very in-depth discussion about what the roasting was for, but I just found a very interesting Medrash that says that Tzli Eish B'Shvil Avram. The significance of tliyesh of the roasting represents Avram, that the Rebbeinu Shlom saved him from the furnace. Yes, saving him from the furnace, okay, was a very important. I got a new phone and it's misbehaving. Saving him from the furnace was something that was not just helped us. Yeah, there we go. It didn't just help us as far as now, okay, we were saved. Now we were able to have continuity as a nation, or we were able to emerge as a nation, but also it represented a very strong, people ask this question all the time, where do people in Klal Yisrael get the strength to live their lives in such a way that they're able to give up everything, give up their lives for the sake of Hashem? Where do we get that moral strength from? The intuition of every human being is to try to stay alive, unless unfortunately there's something wrong, right? But every human being wants to stay alive, and yet we're willing to give up our lives for a higher calling. Why? Where did we get that from? And the answer is from Avraham Avinu. But that represented that situation, that where Hashem saved it from the Kivshon Ha'esh, from the furnace, was something very, very important in our history. Something that till this very day, we remain with those values. And over the years, and we just have to look back 70-some years for people who were dancing, singing Ani Mamin and dancing to the gas chambers. So it says like this, that the Tzli Eish, that element of roasting, is a reflection of Avraham Avinu. Matzahs, the matzah that we eat, is Bishvil Sarah, is in the merit of Sarah. Why Sarah? She made matzahs, right? And merayrim, and the bitter herbs is for Yaakov. Why? Because the same way the Mitzrayim persecuted us, he was persecuted by his brother Esav. And then the Medrash says, I don't know what happened to Yitzchok in there, but the mitzvah of not leaving over of Nisar, which is the mitzvah that we're dealing with now, of not leaving over till the next day, is Kashem She'eni Mishayer Neshama B'Bechir Mitzrayim. The same way I'm not going to be leaving over even one neshama, even one... I will not leave over one Bechir in Mitzrayim. So too, you shouldn't leave over any of the... Now, I leave it to you to figure out what exactly the deeper understanding is of that. But besides of that, we have a question. We know that there was a Bechir that was left over. Is that correct? There was one Bechir in Mitzrayim that was left over. Who knows? Huh? Paro himself. Chazal tells us that Paro himself was a Bechir. So, let's say he says, I'm not leaving even the Shema. Maybe it means from the nation in general. I leave it to you to find some sort of answer to that. Okay. What time are we supposed to go to? 12 noon? Okay, so we'll start the next discussion here. The other thing that it says here is, well, actually it's mentioned later on, is one of the elements of the eating the Karban Pesach was not just that if you leave over and so on, but v'achaltem oisei b'chipazayin. You shall eat it. What's chipazayin? How would we...
In haste.
Yes? You should eat it in haste. Now, I don't know why that's different than the way Jews typically eat during the rest of the year, but maybe that's only a more recent development. Okay. Okay, we're going to have a discussion about what the in haste was. What's the point? What's the point of the haste? What is the haste? Who's haste? So let's see what the Medrash says. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, this is the last source there on page 18. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says, Ze chipazayin Yisrael. You know what in haste means? Amidst haste could be a reflection of the way the Jews, they have to be ready to run. Yes? Or it could mean, we'll see in a moment, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Or it could mean Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim were anxious to get the Jews out. They're all true, yes.
But it also means that, I mean, we know Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning, you know, even to the binding of...
The Zrizus, yes. Okay, good. So we'll see what the significance of this haste is. It's just a strange kind of thing, like the face that Adam was making a moment ago, like, puzzled. Haste, I don't get it, right? True, it's unusual. What's the pshat in this? So either it means chibazin Yisrael, and in fact, if you look at the matzah, what do we say? Why do we eat matzah? Al shum, what do we say in the Haggadah? Shel hisbik betzeika, right? They didn't have a chance to, so that's haste. They didn't have a chance to bake. I asked my children over Pesach, why are we eating matzah? Oh, yeah, I put the matzah on the shoulders and the sun baked it. They didn't have a chance, right? It's passing the Torah, but what does that mean? It means they were in haste. So what's the point in celebrating the haste? What's the point in all of that? So let's just see the Medrash, and hopefully tomorrow we'll have a greater discussion about it. But
we don't have many time to say this, but the Rambam's text is Bifilu. Some Sfarim say Bifilu Yisraelim Yisraelim for the Hakolah. Also,
yes. So I mean, there's a lot of elements of haste. Let's just see. First of all, there's Yisrael. Second of all, maybe it's Chipazin Mitzrayim, right? So maybe when it says you should eat it b'chipazah, it means amidst haste, while the Egyptians are anxious to get you out, you sit there and you twiddle your thumbs and you eat it, you know, having fun. I'll leave when I get done, you know, right? Okay, so kishu aymer ki garshu mitzrayim, when it says that they were banished from Mitzrayim, which means Mitzrayim were anxious to get them out, so harei chipazah Mitzrayim amar already says chipazah. So, matam lemer v'chaltam ayse b'chipazayin, zeh chipazayin Yisrael. So the Medrash says, you know what it means? It means the haste of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll get into a discussion about that later. Abba Chanan oimer, mishum Rebbe Elazar. Abba Chanan says, no, zeh chipazayin shchina. The Ribbono Shel Olam was anxious to get us out. What's the pshat? Why would Hashem be anxious to get us out of there?
Because we're so close to destruction.
Shh. The man is good. The man is good. One more second, Chazal tell us, right? We were about to fall into the 50th Madrega of Tumah, into the 50th level of Tumah, and had we been there one more second, right? Get out, get out, get out, quick, quick, quick. Even one more second would have been disastrous. Yes? Okay, and then it says, Vaval Pishen, Raya Ladover, Zeich Ladover, even though it's not a proof, but we have some sort of hint to this, because it says in the Pasuk, Kol Dei Dihine Zabo Medalag Alohara Mekapatel Agvois, that the Pasuk says that the Savior ultimately will come, the one who will herald, right? The Savior will come and he'll dance on the mountains and Mekapatel Agvois. Hine ze Oime Rachak Asleinu. Okay. So, but that really is... is that Pasuk talking about Lased Lava? Is the Pasuk, when Mashiach comes, is that Pasuk talking about Mitzrayim itself? It seems from this Medrash that it has some significance, some reflection on Mitzrayim. But look what the Medrash says, and this is something we'll spend time on tomorrow. The Medrash says like this. In Mitzrayim, clearly there was Chipazai. There were, according to this Medrash, really, there were three elements of three dimensions of Chipazin. There was the Chipazin, the haste of Klal Yisrael. There's the haste of the Rebbe Nishlam. There's the haste of Mitzrayim to get us out. Yeah, not necessarily that any that all of those specifically were the Chipazin mentioned in the Pasuk, but they were there. They were in existence, right? Says the Medrash, Yachal la'asad lava yihei b'chipazin. I might think that not just in Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was in haste, but that the final Geula from the Golos that we're in today will also be in haste. Talmud Leimer, no, ki loy b'chipazin seitzu. The Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya, and in fact, if you turn to source sheet number 19, you'll see that it's the second, interesting, I didn't quote the Pasuk itself. That was a mistake. I should have put that in. But okay, the Pasuk says, ki loy b'chipazin seitzu. That it won't be, the famous psukim manovu alaharim ragli mavaser, that the one who heralds the gula will come. We read it in the haftarah. Many songs have been made about that. That's the psukim right before this pasuk. But it says here that you will not be redeemed in the final gula in haste. So in contrast to Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Yetzias Mitzrayim it was in haste, and in the final gula it won't be in haste. And that's what it says at the end of this medrash, just the last few words there. It says, "V'achalta ma'isa b'chipazayin, aysay b'chipazayin." This will be b'chipazayin, ve'ein achar b'chipazayin. In the Lased Lava, it won't be in haste.
Does Yaakov's quote from the Chokhmah about that has the same idea?
Yes.
Repeat that again.
In the end of days, when we are redeemed, it won't be in haste. What's the pshat in that? Sounds like a cryptic kind of message. Okay. Are you addressing the contrast between the end of days and yeah?
Well, for now, more the haste. Why is there haste? I mean, even haste and the idea of this bread, this poor man's bread, it's not very good, and we had to leave right away. And so I'm saying, why haste and why is that important? I think it's as if to say it's our duty to even in haste to find the good and bring Hashem into.
Okay, and why in the final days there won't be haste?
Assuming that when the final days come and when he's revealed, that we'll have done our job.
Okay, very interesting. All right, so we'll have to see tomorrow. We have some sources that are similar to what you're saying.
Or maybe tomorrow we'll be
All right.
I mean.
Okay, Shkoyach.